This episode is brought to you by Book Thinkers. Do you want to reach more readers, grow your audience, and supercharge your impact? Well, at Book Thinkers, they believe the right books at the right time can change lives. Now, you have put serious time into researching, writing, and editing a book, and the idea of marketing can be deflating. Well, truth be told, it doesn't have to be. You've spent a lot of time writing your book for personal development because you want to help readers make positive changes and improve their lives. Where authors get stuck isn't writing or publishing. It's ensuring their target reader gets their hands on the finished book. That's where Book Thinkers come in. They have worked alongside hundreds of authors, from first-time writers to best-selling authors, to help get their book in front of the right reader. And those readers don't just read, they connect. For Book Thinkers, they help video production for authors, book reviews, podcast booking, and even social media management. Now, quick question. Are you ready to change more lives? Well, if you are, then you can go to www.bookthinkers.com and get more eyes on your books now. As we all know, shame is a toxic emotion if left unaddressed, and it's one that takes looking bravely at how we feel and our past. And your shame might be a part of you, but in my opinion, it doesn't rule your life. Quick question, are you ready to banish it to the outskirts and get back to who you were meant to be? Well, thankfully today, this inspiring life coach and I have your back. And in this episode, we've invited transformation coach Whitney Rowell. And Whitney is the co-founder of Steadfast Life Coaching and an accomplished writer of her latest book, Reckless Grace, Freedom from Shame, Lies, and Brokenness. Whit's story is not only dynamic, but shows the divine hand of God's love that is not willing to let his child go. Her story contains the heartache and pain of the generational effects of alcohol and trauma, but it also shows the miraculous healing and steadfast life that can be created from even the most broken stories. Mm. And she knows what it's like to experience the worst that life has to offer, and also decides to not let it be the final word in her story. She and Jesus have done some amazing traveling together, and as a result, she's able to walk alongside with you with the knowledge and understanding that comes from someone who has walked and conquered the path. Well, without further ado, let's welcome Whitney into the podcast. Woo-hoo!
Thank you, Rayson. Wow, that intro moved me.
Well,
I feel very seen and very loved. Yes.
Oh. You're most welcome. I mean, like when I heard about you from Book Thinkers, I was like, man, this story has to be shared on my podcast. And not just that, the things that you have gone through after, you know, reading from your profile, reading from Yahoo Finance as like one of top 10 coaches to be looked upon and to be alongside with Tony Robbins. I was like, oh my God, that's truly amazing.
Yeah. Well, he's impacted so many lives, mine included.
Oh, yes. Oh, nice, nice, nice. And wow, it's really glad, you know, it's really great to see you. And also, even though this is our first time, I can feel that we already vibe when we, you know, we're talking a little bit earlier on as well, before the podcast has ran. How have you been, Whitney?
I've been good, Rayson. I'm in Central Texas right now. So it's, I think it's an 11-hour difference from where you're at right now.
Yep. Yes, yes, yes. Right now it's like 10 p.m. and over your end, I think it's 9 a.m. If I'm not wrong.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. That's so cool that we get to talk on kind of opposite parts of the world.
Yeah, and a different time zone, and also at the same time, thankfully it's the same day, I believe.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, if not, it would be like, oh, you're on the 9th of July and I'm on the 10th of July. It's like, Yeah, but well, it's really, you know, my honor and pleasure to have you here as well. And it's it will be great to have Jake as well when the time comes, right?
Yeah.
Your husband. Yeah, I saw that he's also one hell of a coach, and he's really impacting a lot of lives alongside with you as well.
Oh, and thank you. Yes.
Yeah, and Whitney, can you share with the audience a little bit more about who you are and what you do?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, so Whitney Rail, I am actually a new mom to a one-year-old boy. His name is Maverick. We named him after a huge wave that comes in California about once a year. It's about 50-foot wave, and my husband and I love to surf. Yeah. So, he has just been a joy in our life. I didn't think I was going to be able to have kids. And I also have an 18-year-old stepdaughter. So I've had the privilege of being a stepmom. And Rayson, I heard you highlight your stepmom, and that literally just touched my heart, because being a step parent is a challenging role, but such an honorable role.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
It is.
And right now, my husband and I, we are taking Steadfast Life Coaching, our business, on the road. So that means that we are living from a truck camper, and just we call them Holy Spirit led adventures. So we kind of have a general idea of where we're going. We have a retreat that we're doing, Rayson, in about 6 days, where we're taking 9 people to summit a 14,000-foot mountain in the Sierra Mountains. So we kind of need to be in California in the next 4 days. But other than that, we're just really letting God guide our adventures and parenting and working from the road in this small truck camper. So it's very adventurous.
Yeah, it is. I mean, like before that, I was telling you, like, if it would be great if I can, you know, go to US. I mean, not if, but when I go to US and have a caravan trip and things like that, it would be awesome. Going to the national parks, or even to the forest, Amazon forest, or whichever place that you know this caravan can bring us to will be awesome as well. Yeah, wow. I find that your lifestyle is really interesting, and it's really adventurous as well. And
Thank you.
Praise to God for all these amazing, you know, amazing opportunities that you guys can have to travel around and to speak and to share the message of God and the coach all these individuals to be a better person and a better instrument to God, in a sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so well said, Rayson.
Oh, welcome. And, you know, before we actually dive into the main focus of our interview, our listeners would love to get to know you a bit better. So can you tell us a bit about your backstory to become a life coach?
Yeah, absolutely. So about 7 years ago, I was sitting at a coffee table and doing a devotion, just some reading some Bible and doing some prayer time. And I heard God say, "Whitney, I want you to stop drinking alcohol." And at the time, I had, not knowing, I had coped with a lot of my shame with alcohol. And so fast forward, when I heard the Lord say that, it convicted me, Rayson, but it was so scary and felt so overwhelming. And so it took about 3 years before I was obedient and did that. But within 6 months of not drinking alcohol, Rayson, I was miserable. I didn't have any tools. I didn't know how to handle emotions. And so here I am, no longer using alcohol to cope with all the inner pain and all that. And a friend text messaged me a podcast called The Life Coach School by Brooke Castillo. And she was talking about PTSD and trauma. And I have read every, I noticed that you have a lot of books back there, Rayson. I
Yep.
read almost every self-help book under the sun that I could get my hands on. And I couldn't really understand how to take it into actual practical tools. So when I heard her podcast, I had finally found someone who is actually teaching me tools to change my experience. And so that was the entry point into what would later be my own inner transformation that gave me a taste of the power of coaching, changing your thoughts to change your life.
Ah, nice. Okay. Wow. Then did you manage to meet her as well?
Oh, yes. Yeah. She ended up, I ended up on her podcast twice. She highlighted me as her most transformational student
Wow.
after about 2 years of learning from her and being mentored very intimately with her. And yeah, went to her house, just spent a lot of time with her. Just so hungry, Rayson. Like, you know, when you're just at a place of your life where you are wanting change so badly that you're just like a sponge, you know.
Yeah.
So coachable.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, like, you know, when you are at the bottom of your life, right? Yeah, I mean, that's the time when you want to be coachable, and when you are coachable and you want to be coached by someone, you know that there's something that's not right, and you want somebody to be there to help you out along the way. But I believe that, you know, when you are actually growing your as a life coach during your journey, you're growing yourself, you are actually building your business up, I'm pretty sure you have made some mistakes and you have had some failures along the way, right? So Whitney, do you have a favorite failure of yours, and how has that failure or parent failure set you up for later success?
Yeah, that's such a great question. I would say the first one that comes to mind is before I had the conviction that alcohol was just kind of a master, too much of a driver and control in my life. I had tried hundreds of times to get my drinking under control. And Reason, I just honestly, like, I just loved going to the clubs on the weekends. I loved having a glass of wine at 5 o'clock. Like, it was very much what society says is normal. However,
right.
I didn't know at the time that it was a massive coping strategy. And so my failure looked very normal, that I would try to go 10 days without drinking alcohol. You know, like, I'm just really going to detox my body. I had a crazy weekend and I just want to detox my body. Or I really want to lose 15 pounds, so I'm going to cut back on the wine. Or, you know, there'd always be some kind of inner conviction to try and maintain my drinking a little bit more. And every time I would say, okay, Monday, I'm going to start this 15 days of not drinking. Wednesday would come around and a friend would say, oh, I just had a horrible day. Will you go to this happy hour with me and let's grab a drink? Sure, of course. Like, I want to be a good friend. So it would just be lots of justifications to not ever stay committed to my word to myself. And so, Rayson, I had years of that being my relationship with alcohol and my relationship with myself. I would quit on myself, which felt it just felt like I was not capable of doing what I say I'm going to do, no matter how much I wanted to do it.
Okay. Whoa, I see. So, you know, being, I would say back then when you were very young, you had a lot of alcohol, like, to a point that you became like an alcoholic. Am I right to say that?
Yeah, I mean, I think in society terms, I wouldn't be an alcoholic because I never drank it from the morning. You know what I mean? Like I didn't need alcohol at all times. Like I was very high functioning.
I see. Okay. Then besides this, alcohol issue that you had, were there any business issues that you actually faced when you were, you know, probably building your business up?
Yeah, absolutely. I would say that in the beginning of our business, we outsourced a lot of skills that we needed to learn. So I would say marketing and so we would pay like $10,000 for a coach to help us with marketing. And our cash flow just started to dwindle. And here we are totally like reliant on our business, didn't have any other side jobs. And we're paying for things that we needed to actually be learning skills and mindset for. And so we got to a place where we sat on, it was like a Monday morning and our bank account was, you know, it maybe had like $1,000 in it. We'd gone through all of our savings and we just weren't getting business. And we sat down and we asked God, we surrendered our business and we said, God, if you want this business to work, you're going to have to do something miraculous. Otherwise, Jake's going to go get a teaching job and I'm going to go get a sales job.
Okay.
And it was literally the next day we had 3 clients reach out to us and our business took off. And so I would say the failure aspect was not feeling capable or confident enough to step out and learn the hard way how to market, and instead just trying to pay someone, which I think there's a balance for that. I'm definitely not saying you shouldn't do that, but we were maybe leaning on it too hard to just have a quick fix, and it got us in a really bad financial situation.
Okay, understand. Yeah, because like, you know, being not so marketing savvy and then after that really relying on that person to help you out, it's just like if I'm getting coached by you, Whitney, and then I'm always relying on you to make sure that I'm going to be disciplined and I'm going to be successful because of what you have guaranteed in your course, for example, and yet I'm not doing as much as what I'm supposed to be doing. Instead, I'm over relying on you in a sense, right? So that's why sometimes, you know, people, when they think that, hey, this coach is not worth the try because nothing comes out, you know, in terms of positive results. Mm-hmm. But then again, it's usually the person that is not really doing what was being told or doing the actual work more so than what the coach is for, in a sense, because they're always expecting more from the coach than themselves.
Right.
When they should be the one doing the work, hustle and the grind rather than, you know, letting the coach grind for them in a sense.
Yeah.
Hustle for them, right?
100% Reason. That's such a great way of packaging it. And the only thing I would add to that is I had a business coach who said that building a business is a healing modality. In order to successfully build a business, there are going to be parts of shame or doubt in yourself that come up because you're putting yourself out there and you're taking risks constantly. And so we had to start doing the work, doing the mindset work, doing the inner work. And that's what really helped our business overcome those failures.
Yeah, totally. I agree with you on that. And, you know, while you're actually building yourself up and also your business up, I'm pretty sure you have met a lot of mentors and business coaches like what you mentioned earlier. So can you tell us like what's the best piece of advice you've ever received from them?
100% it would be change your thoughts so you can change your life.
Okay.
And I'm sure that's probably overused, Rayson, but it is the foundation of both our faith and our coaching, that until you start having enough self-awareness to know what thoughts are causing your results, you will not have sustainable growth or sustainable success. It has to start with your changing your thinking.
Right. I agree with you. Your thoughts, your mind, I would say it's just like a garden, right? It's how you plant it, how you flower it, in
That's
a sense.
Good.
What kind of flowers do you want it to be in there? Or rather, you know, if you have too much of a junk inside, it will be bad.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah, if you keep telling yourself, I'm not going to do it. It's not going to work. Is, you know, but then at that point of time, you guys actually surrendered your business to God, and within a day you guys have your luck. I mean, your business clientels just came in, three of them, right?
Wow. that's good,
that's amazing. Wow.
And I'll just add to that, Rayson, that when we said that simple prayer, it was changing our thinking from this isn't working, this is hopeless, to God's got it and we can do it with him. So it really was like a shift in our thinking that we weren't even aware of, just by taking a posture of surrender proactively.
Okay. So for those of you who are tuning in right now, regardless of whoever you believe in, whatever you pray to, right, just as long as you are in doubt or whatsoever, have a prayer to whichever God that you guys believe in, and surrender your business and whatever ideas that you have to him or her, or whatever you call it, and I'm pretty sure, you know, things will come for you and with you, and but of course you have to do some work along the way, or else you'll be just like what Bob Proctor always says, wishful thinking.
Yeah.
Right. So yeah. So yeah. Okay, cool. And you know, I'm pretty sure that when you were younger, you will wish that somebody would have said some things to you. And now that you have actually known so much, right? So Whitney, what advice will you give to your 20-year-old self, knowing what you know now?
Oh gosh, that's so good. That's a great question. You know, for so many years since I was a little girl, you know, like 6 years old, I didn't believe I was lovable. I didn't believe that I was worthy of receiving love. And I really believed that I was broken. And so the advice I would give my 20-year-old self was to believe that I am so loved, unconditionally loved by God, the creator of the universe, the one that made me, and that's enough. that I don't have to go earning my love. I don't have to try and perform to be lovable, to be worthy. And I think that advice, Rayson, would just give me permission to feel like I was worth going after the desires of my heart without needing that to become my identity or become why I'm worthy. For many years, I chased worldly success the best that I could, which I failed so much, to prove to myself that I was worth loving, that if I got X, Y, and Z, then I would become lovable. And so I would say that you're already lovable by the one who created you. and yeah. you don't need to earn it.
I agree. But don't mind me asking, what was this? Because you actually mentioned that you don't feel lovable since young, in a sense. Mm-hmm. What was the cause of it? Was it because of bad parenting? Or was it because of, peer pressure that you got to learn from your friends that, oh, they don't like you, and also you started to hate yourself? Oh, mm-hmm. What causes you to have that kind of thoughts?
Yeah. So my dad was a ranger, a very elite soldier in Vietnam War. And it was an awful war, and for a lot of reasons. He went when he was 18 years old. And so as my father, I only saw the side of him that would drink to cope with his severe PTSD, and he would become a monster. And so, I remember one time my parents separated because his drinking was so bad. We were supposed to go stay with him for the weekend. It was our weekend to be with him. And by the court, he was not supposed to be drinking when he had us. And we went to his house, which was about 30 minutes away from my mom's house. And I would always just be on edge. Like I knew that he was not capable of staying sober. And so he went to go get us groceries to eat dinner, and he mm-hmm. was gone for about 3 hours. And when he came back, I could always tell when he had been drinking, because his glasses would be about down halfway to his nose. His hat would be tilted to the side, and he was a tall, very skinny, slender guy. And his Wrangler jeans would be halfway off of his, just sagging.
Yeah. Okay.
And I knew, oh no, I've got to find a way out for my brother and sister, because things are about to get really bad. And so I went to go call my mom, and he heard me calling my mom, and he just went to his monster side, is what I would call it.
Oh, damn.
And so I came out of the bathroom, and he started yelling at me and saying, "I will effing kill you. Do you know who I am? I'm an elite ranger of the, you know, da 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 da." And so I was trying to calm him down. And as he went to turn around to point to his army uniform, I sprinted out, getting out of the door, and he started chasing me. I got the door unlocked, and I left my brother and sister upstairs just trying to go get help. That was one of the many events that happened until I was 13 years old.
Whoa. Oh, damn. Wow.
I talk about that a little bit in my book, Reckless Grace, on my testimony.
Oh, yes.
But mm-hmm. Rayson, when you live in that kind of, and I know a lot of kids do, which breaks my heart, but when you live in that kind of tumultuous environment from a young age, and that's all you know, you start believing that you're not lovable. If I was lovable, then my dad wouldn't drink. He wouldn't say he was going to kill me. You start having that kind of chatter in your mind, and you start to believe it.
Mm-hmm. Understand. Yeah, I mean, everyone, you know, who went through bad moments with your family, mm-hmm. it's usually because of, you know, bad parenting, because of the parents that weren't really, well trained to look after a kid, for example, to inculcate the right values. Probably, maybe even the kid was the one who actually was a bad kid. But somehow this time around, your story is your dad was having this really bad PTSD, which mm-hmm. was, I felt bad, you know. I mean, like, is he still around? I mean,
he passed 4 months ago.
Oh, sorry to hear that. I'm pretty sure, you know, this were the things that you actually learned not to do it to your kids mm-hmm. when you have your 1-year-old Maverick, for example. right? So all these are really interesting stories that we can actually share with our kids in the future, or probably next time they grow older, you can let them listen to this podcast episode. Yeah. I'm really touched, you know, you're moved by your story, because you actually had to, you know, go through this kind of don't mind my language shit when you were younger, and your brother and sister than you. I mean, like, they had to go through this kind of thing as well. It's really not easy, but and so that's why you rely on, right, to ease your pain and get your comfort from it. I understand how that cycle happened, how it became like this. But of course, you know, you actually went through it. You became better, and like way earlier you mentioned it, you have actually surpassed that stage, and now you are sober. You are straight edge, right? Right now,
yeah. Yep. In a sense. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, welcome. Yeah, you're most welcome. I mean, like, well, and now, you know, Whitney, to the main focus of our interview, we spoke a lot about shame earlier, right? So can you tell us, like, how does shame affect our ability to pursue our true purpose or destiny?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, I've read some of Brené Brown's books on shame, as well as going through my own personal transformation, breaking free from shame. And I always like to take, you know, some knowledge with personal experience. And so I would say that shame attacks your identity, how you see yourself. And so shame and guilt are kind of talked about as being very similar, sometimes confused. And the way I really liked Brené Brown explain it was, guilt is I've done something bad.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas shame is thinking I am bad. And so shame attaches labels onto your identity. And so in my personal experience, since I had that trauma, I attach that trauma to my identity. Instead of just thinking I went through something bad, I started to believe I am bad. And bad meaning unlovable, unworthy. And so I want to make sure that I'm answering your question, Rayson.
Mm-hmm.
Will you remind me the question? Because I don't want to go off track too much.
No worries. I mean, like, I understand how shame comes about, in a sense, and I just want to know, is like, how does shame affect our ability to pursue our true purpose or destiny?
Yeah. Right. So when your identity is attached to labels that are negative, right? They're not creating inspiration and hope and motivation. When they're attached to those things, we get stuck in like a pain cycle, right? Which is, you feel the shame, you usually cope, you have some kind of default behavior. So in my case, that was drinking. I coped with it with alcohol. That alcohol would then make me feel guilty and add more shame about my identity. And so it was like this cycle that I felt stuck in. So until I was able to break free from my shame, I was so stuck in bad behavior, bad believing, and bad emotions, that when I thought about, oh gosh, I would love to help other people, da 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 da, I would love to have a business that was all about this, my pain cycle from shame prevented me from believing that I was capable or called or confident enough to start taking those steps.
Right. Okay.
Does
nice.
That make sense?
Yeah, it makes sense, because if we attach labels to ourselves in terms of shame, we definitely will it will definitely hinder our true purpose, because we are always thinking that I am alcoholic, I am bad,
exactly.
I am a sadistic piece of shit, or whatever that we're going to call ourselves, right? Yeah. But if we change it and we change our mindset and say that, oh, I am successful, I am a coach that helps someone with mental health issues, for example, or help someone who wants to succeed in social media, for example, then boom, your messaging in your brain starts to change. You are rewiring the whole mindset, in a sense, right?
Right, exactly. You're absolutely right, Rayson. And so just by changing, breaking free from that shame, getting out of that pain cycle, now your desires change. So when I stop thinking I am out of control with alcohol, when I stop thinking that, then my desire for alcohol actually lowered. And so my behavior wasn't continuing that cycle, because my thinking was causing different emotions.
Okay, cool. I understand. It all makes sense. So for those of you who are tuning in, if you find that, you know, you're affecting yourself by having this shame and labels, negative labels for yourself, then you should listen to what Whitney has mentioned. Remove those labels, change them, tune it in to something that's more positive, more something that is better for yourself, that you can actually use. And like the examples that we have mentioned, use it. And then after that, let us know how it has changed you over the few weeks or even months. All right. And Whitney, can you tell us, like, how does shame actually create barriers to personal growth and fulfillment?
You know, there are many different manifestations of shame. I would say a very common one is that you become disconnected with yourself. And what I mean by that is that I believe that every person is made with specific talents, experiences, and callings on their life.
Right.
When you are stuck in shame, that's blocked from you. Your eyes are not open to your own genius, your own inner genius. And so you stay living more in fear and never stepping into the amazing destiny that you were created for.
Okay. I understand. Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yep, makes sense. Makes sense. Okay.
And then I would just add the second one that was just coming to mind is shame ends up being a self-fulfilling prophecy. When you think I am broken, your life is creating results that are broken. When you're thinking I'm unlovable, your relationships are really broke. They're not healthy relationships. And so I believe that it's really necessary for people to become aware when they're living from shame and to address it head on so that it doesn't end up creating ripples of self-sabotaging behaviors that end up in divorce or bankruptcy or, you know, whatever, but that can be really negative consequences.
Right, understand. Oh, this is really a really bad self-fulfilling prophecy. Unless you are able to change it, which we're gonna talk about it in a while. I truly agree that shame is a really bad self-fulfilling prophecy. Because if you keep thinking that you are broken, you're thinking that you are very bad, negative, you have a very negative thinking about life, then all the more your life will be very negative. It will just go downhill, right? When you actually had your dad saying all those nasty things to you, and you kept thinking about it and kept thinking that you're unlovable. I'm pretty sure back then your whole life was like unlovable, right? Your whole, even when you're with your friends, you don't feel loved, you feel being used or things like that. So yeah.
Yeah,
Okay.
it's a great way of packaging it, Raisin.
Okay. Understand. Then Whitney, are there any specific strategies or techniques that you would recommend for overcoming shame and embracing our true potential?
I like to keep this simple because I know for myself, when I was listening to podcasts like this that were very inspiring, I wanted like a practical tool that I could actually, like a hammer. I know how to use a hammer.
Right.
Yeah, how to use a hammer. And so I would say to get out a piece of paper and a pen and
Okay.
to just start writing like a stream of conscious. So it could be like, I should get the laundry done. I need to go to the store. As you're just letting yourself write, and I would give yourself 2 minutes, like set a timer, 2 minutes, just start writing all the things that come to your brain. After that, go over your stream of conscious thoughts that you wrote down, and just I like to involve God with it. And say, God, highlight where I am labeling my identity or attaching labels to my identity that are causing me harm. And so I would end up scarring certain parts of my exercise. So an example would be, I should have gotten the laundry done. Well, that thought that feels very innocent, I was attaching a label. And this is just an example. It's not real life, but I was attaching a label that I'm a bad wife. That if I was a good wife, I would get the laundry done by Monday.
Yeah, I understand.
It's so sneaky because until you put pen to paper, learning those voices, those thoughts, those stream of consciousness, where you can actually see them, then you just believe them and you start attaching these labels to your identity without having the self-awareness. And so the first step is to actually be able to see them, spot them, know what they sound like. The second one is to see how it's causing you to show up in your life. And so we're talking about behaviors now, ways that you cope or react. And so when I highlighted, I should have gotten the laundry done, I'm a bad wife, that feels very shameful. How would I respond usually when I was believing that? And so in that scenario, I could be really short with my husband. Just kind of irritable. Like he would say something and I'd be like, spout off on him. And I didn't want to be showing up that way. And so once I became aware of the way I would usually respond in that level of shame attaching to my marriage, now I was aware of the pattern that tended to follow it. And so I would write that on paper. The shame thought and the shame behavior. And then I would ask myself a very empowering question. How do I want to think about myself as a wife? Now, it's not very realistic when you say, I'm a bad wife. Now I'm going to think that I'm a good wife. Like, that's just a big jump. And so I like to ask myself, how do I want to think about myself as a wife? What am I good at? What is one thing that I feel grateful for as a wife that I can spot and I can identify and speak life to? So an example would be that in my marriage, I am a good listener. And so I would say, I am a good wife, or I am a good listener to my husband.
Mm-hmm.
It's possible I am a good wife.
Right.
So that's just an example of how we can bridge the gap from where we are to where we want to be and how we see ourselves.
Okay. So that means to take pen, paper, and then write down your conscious thoughts about what you are doing not so right, in the sense, right? What you're doing wrong, or what you, right? I should have done the laundry, for example. Oh, I should have hired a marketer, for example, in business terms, right? I should have hired a copywriter, for example.
Yeah.
Instead of shaming myself for not doing it, I think about what are the good things that I've done, or what I'm grateful for, right? In a sense. Yes. Because of your faith, you actually incorporate God with it by asking God, okay, tell me which are the things that are not good for me right now, which is toxic for me. Highlight them, circle them, or star them, right? And then after that, you change the wording from there to something that you're grateful for. You find something that you're good at and grateful for, and then you pen them down on a piece of paper.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Okay, understand.
Yes, okay. Cool.
Understand. Okay, nice. Okay, so for those of you who are tuning in, just use that method, okay? And then I'm pretty sure that will be a starting point for you to understand more about yourself, and also at the same time, what are things that can be improved and what are the things that are good at the point of time as well. And yeah. Whitney, can you provide examples of individuals who have successfully overcome shame and transformed their lives? And what lessons can we learn from their experiences as well?
Yeah. Well, I would say one is my old mentor. I will always be so grateful for her, Brooke Castillo. Her business is now based on her transformations and the tools that she's acquired through them. Past shame being a huge overcoming obstacle. And she now helps hundreds of thousands of people all over the world through her coaching. And she has been a role model to me since getting into this industry and becoming a business owner. And I've watched her really be vulnerable about her own stories of overcoming shame and past trauma and unworthiness, all of that. And I think she had a podcast recent in December saying that her business broke $50 million. So wow. She's helping a lot of people.
Okay. Wow. Nice. Okay. Well, I hope, your mentor can actually listen to this as well. And, this is a great testament for her. And I'm pretty sure she will be really proud of you, you know, for achieving so much as well with your husband. And also at the same time, how about your coaches? How about your clients? Are there any examples from them as well?
That's a great question. Yeah, absolutely. I would say specifically in body shaming, as well as build. So I help women lose weight, and a lot of them are successful entrepreneurs who are really, really busy, but they want to lose, you know, 30 pounds. And that is causing a lot of shame that's keeping them living kind of isolated and just very low self-esteem, even though they're very successful. And then my husband works with men who have businesses, but their business is overcoming or overtaking their marriage and their family life. So they have a lot of shame around the father or the husband that they're not being. So we definitely have clients who have overcome shame in their marriage and shame in their health that have been very transformative and very inspiring.
Oh, nice. Okay. Cool. Then, all right. So what is your advice for someone who wants to start their own business or pursue their passion, but they are hesitant to take the first step?
I would say I have two, Rayson, that come to mind.
Okay.
The first one is don't wait to feel ready, because mm-hmm. you'll be waiting a really long time.
Right. Makes sense.
I used to think like, okay, once I get everything in order and I feel like I'm capable of being a business owner and being a good coach, then I'll, and I just had to be willing to fail, be willing to not be fully capable and learn from experience. And then the second one is, I would say to invite God to ask what you're good at, what you're passionate about. In my business journey, Rayson, I pursued a lot of shiny things that were kind of distracting from my real calling.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yep. What were the shiny things that you were chasing back then?
I would say opportunities that people would talk to me about that would be promising of a lot of money, but I didn't have my passion. I didn't feel passionate about them and I didn't feel really called to it, but I saw that those were avenues that could make me, you know, it could make me a $300,000 a year, or it felt very shiny because of the money that was attached to it and the opportunity of business that they mm-hmm. were highlighting. And so once I really started to tune into what is Whitney called to do, what's the passion and the desires of my heart? Yes, a business owner was part of that, but the other big aspect was to help other people in this specific way. And that's when I started to really dial in and be focused on my calling and not be so distracted with a lot of other shiny things.
Okay, I understand. Okay, cool. Wow, nice. I love the two advice. It's really practical and something that my listeners and viewers would actually be using, because this are really great advices that they need to listen to, because if not, they will always be following the wrong things in a sense where they'll be following where the money goes rather than where the passion goes, where their calling goes, in a sense. Okay, got it. Well, thanks. And, you know, as we are coming to the end of the podcast, I have one last question for you, and that is this, Whitney. Imagine this. You suddenly lose everything, your money, your assets, your reputation. What will you do from day one to day 30 to save yourself?
I would go out to Starbucks and I would ask someone what they're pursuing. I would start asking. I would pick a stranger and I would just start having conversation from a place of curiosity. And I would be looking for how I can empower them, how I can serve them with my own experiences and transformations. and how I can encourage them to keep going. I believe at that heart level, you are always going to be of value in the world.
Right.
And so I would just go to the simple, the super simple, find someone, figure out how you can empower, encourage, or help them. Is that cheating, Grayson? Is that too easy?
Well, I mean, different people has different way of doing it. Some of my past, I would say, guests, they actually mentioned like they will go and get a job, and then they will go and save some money, and then they will start their business again. But some, when the same as you, they will go to their contacts, ask who needs help, what are the things that they need help with, and then they will render services to them, something along these lines as well as what you mentioned. And Starbucks is definitely a good place to go to, but would it be easy to get people from there? I mean, I'm not too sure if people will be receptive to being coached or being mentored when somebody is there to, you know, just ask them about them and...
Yeah, you know, that's a great point. I think people can sense someone's genuineness, like genuineness. And so one of the things that I've learned in my entrepreneur journey is to have and maintain a heart for people. And so I would be really leaning into God's my provider. He's the one that gave me my business in the first place. He's the one that's going to keep bringing people into into our doors. If I lost everything, go back to what you know, and that's having a genuine heart for people, and the rest will be taken care of.
Yeah, totally. Wow, awesome. Wow, Whitney, that's awesome. I mean, like, I'll go and give it a try. You know, go to Starbucks and ask. And I mean, Singapore is different culture, different kind of way of life. But we'll give it a try. But anyway, you know, Whitney, thank you for all the amazing golden nuggets that you've mentioned earlier. And just wondering, how can my audience find you on social media?
Yeah, our social media is Steadfast Life on Instagram. And Rayson, I think a great way is to go on Amazon and purchase my book. I think it's $12. And I have practical tools in there on how to get out of shame and step more into your identity, or your identity and your destiny. And it's just the details of what we've talked about, Rayson. But I would say that that's a really great resource for people to relate to, and for people to have actual practical tools on how to do that inner work for themselves.
Right. I understand. Well, yep. You guys, Amazon, and go and search for Reckless Grace, Freedom from Shame, Lies, and Brokenness. And you guys can actually go and get a copy of it. I'm pretty sure you'll be moved, like how I was being moved by Whitney earlier on in our conversation as well. Well, with that, you know, I would like to thank each and every one of you for tuning in from around the world. Really appreciate you guys, and stay tuned for the next episode of The Legacy Show. All right?
Yes, thank you. Take care
and good night, and good day from Texas. Austin, Texas. Right? Okay. Okay. See you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thank you, everyone, for listening to another episode of The Legacy Show. I hope it has enlightened you. I hope it has brought you to an epiphany where you realize that this is where you want to go and this is what you want to do. So I hope you will continue to support and Also, at the same time, like, comment, and share this episode out to your people, to your family, your friends. And not forgetting that, we have just created a Telegram group. It's called the Legacy Show Family. So you can go and check it out and let us know how you find this group is serving you. Alright, so with that, I would like to thank you once again. See you and stay tuned for another episode of the Legacy Show.